Good morning, Arizona. Thank you for joining us today. Our guest today is Craig Sawyer, founder of the Veterans for Child Rescue. And on the phone from Tacoma, Washington, we have Eric Bauer, who's an attorney who is very active in fighting sex trafficking. Eric, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning. How are you?
Great. I want to introduce you to Craig. You can't see each other, but we're here. And Craig, tell us a little bit about you and your background and what got you involved, because you are the founder of Veterans for Child Rescue. What got you involved?
Absolutely. Good morning, everybody. Well, I was in the military. I was in the Marine Corps and then the Navy SEAL teams. Spent the last part of my professional career in the SEAL teams at Naval Special Warfare Development Group, which everybody's calling SEAL Team 6 now. And I got a lot of experience there. And I did 5 years of federal law enforcement after that, and then 10 years of high-threat mobile security over in the war zones, protecting some of our diplomats and other intelligence community officials, basically keeping them off of Al Jazeera in an orange jumpsuit on the evening news. So it was a good and a wide scope of experience. And in that, I met a lot of powerful people and genuinely and intelligent and good-hearted white hats, we would call them, along the way. And I maintained personal friendships with them, so that when later I began learning about child trafficking in the United States and how pervasive it actually is and how dark and harmful it actually is, I just got my heart broken and I got ticked off. And I reached back to a lot of these contacts that I'd met along my previous life's journey and said, hey, help me do something about this. And I founded Veterans for Child Rescue under that premise. I saw that the reason child trafficking is so pervasive in the United States is because it is what we would refer to in the counterterrorist community as a permissive environment. The criminals can run their criminal organization and their activities here relatively unknown to the public. The public are unwitting to it, and it's easy for the bad guys. And I mean to take that away from them. I mean to take their veil of secrecy and top cover away from them by alerting the populace to the threat and creating a non-permissive environment for this sort of abuse. And I think it needs to happen. I think now is the time culturally that it's to happen. And it's a privilege to have some part in it. And so that's basically what I spend all my waking hours doing now is we filmed a documentary for the last 3 years called Contraland, and we run joint operations with federal and local law enforcement arresting child predators. And by filming it and sharing it with the populace in a documentary, the American people can see just how quickly these predators come running for children, just how close by they are. As an example, in Connecticut, we ran our first ad, and in 30 days, 5,000 local responses came within the first 30 days. The first call came within 15 minutes.
Wow.
And so we've run three major operations, and on that front, we've gotten 22 arrests on child predators with 100% conviction rate. So filming it, bringing in experts, traveling around the world, showing the American populace how child trafficking is done, what it looks like, bringing in the surviving victims, witnesses, law enforcement, and sharing the facts with the American populace. We will empower them with understanding on how it works, so that we can all lock arms as a populace, if you will, and stand up and fight back and create a more protective environment for the children, rather than one that's predatory, as has become so prevalent and pervasive recently.
Eric, you've been working with this for a long time, and both of you have, actually. Why do you think the general population doesn't acknowledge that this is a problem in America?
Well, number one, hey, Craig, good to meet you, and it sounds like you're doing a fantastic job out there and a sorely needed one, absolutely needed. I think, well, there's a lot of reasons, and one of the reasons is people, the normal public, doesn't even want to look there. We are raised in America, at least a lot of the older generation certainly has been, and some of the newer, we feel funny talking about sex. Oh no, can't talk about that. Oh gee whiz, no, no. Oh, I never do that, huh? You know, I mean, that sort of thing, right?
Really?
And people get feeling really odd when you bring up the conversation. And folks just don't even want to think about it. They don't want to look at it. They're taught from an early age that it's bad, 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 therefore don't go there. I have given lectures at churches before. I was at a mega church once in Idaho. Gosh, there must have been 300 people in the room. And I was essentially, I had a PowerPoint. It had some back page ads on it, the girls in underwear, basically for sale on the internet. And I was assailed by some older women that take that down. They were so enraged that it was even in front of them. I was just trying to show them what we were facing. They didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
It's just absolute ostrich sort of mentality. And I think that's a big part of the problem. I think another part of the problem is there's a perception that these kids that are getting trafficked out there are having fun, sexy time, making easy money. And, you know, it's just pure unadulterated ignorance. You know, there's no such thing as a child prostitute. They are all sex trafficking victims, every one of them. And it's not fun, sexy time at all when you're on date number 17 for the day. And that's essentially what the pimps make them do. It's an absolute volume business. They don't care at all. They put them on quotas. And woe be to them that don't meet the quota. You know, and it's awful. You know, I can go on and on at the horrors that these children face out there. And it is a problem with children. The average age of entry into the world of sex trafficking, according to the Department of Justice, is 12 to 13. Polaris Project has that at 15 years of age. No matter which way you try to slice it with this difficult to survey population, it's kids. It's kids because they're marketable as can be. It's kids because the pimps, the traffickers, can control them. They're easy to trick, manipulate, and control.
And Craig, you had a situation very personal to you. Do you want to address that?
I will. First, I'd like to back Eric up a little bit. In more recent studies, they're learning that the human brain is not fully developed until more like 23 to 25 years of age. So a child's frontal lobe and outer cortex are not yet fully developed. They do not have the mental capacity and faculties to formulate a defense against a full-grown predatory adult that wants what they want. And it's rape for a reason. It's legally, it's rape if someone is under 18 for good reason, because they do not have that ability to defend themselves. And as a society, who are we if we can't defend the most precious and innocent among us? So this is a despicable predation upon our most precious and innocent. And it is evil to the core. It is not, Eric pointed out a very important point. This is not just fun, sexy time. This is an attack on the children, and it is predatory in nature. And as far as people turning away from it, I think we are here in this situation. We have this epidemic because too many people have turned a blind eye. They have turned away from this. Even in Nazi Germany, when the Allies liberated Auschwitz and other prison of war camps, extermination camps, they took the local populace and rounded them up and marched them through these death camps so that they could see what they refused to see prior. And I think that's human nature, something that is so abhorrent as this type of predatory crime is. It is human nature to turn away from and say it's too horrible. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to see it. As Eric pointed out, those women saying, get those images down, get the message away. I don't want to see it. Well, my gosh, America, if the children are suffering the unthinkable, how can we turn a blind eye to it and allow it to continue? Who do you think is going to stop it? How do you think this is going to be turned around if we don't all roll up our sleeves and each do what we can? And we can each do a little something. Not one of us has to be the big Superman and save the day for the entire planet. But there's 320 million Americans, and together we are what we can't be alone. We can be a strong society that's completely not permissive of this type of predatory behavior against our innocent children. So Sherry was pointing out that we have a personal connection to this. Yes, our own daughter was abducted near the U of A here in Tucson just about 3 years ago. And she was going into a Subway sandwich shop to use the restroom. And when she came out, he put a knife to her side and put his arm around her and led her into the darkness, threatening to kill her. And he brutally assaulted her sexually over and over again. Well, the good news with that story is our daughter's a fighter. She's intelligent, and she was able to figure out a way to get away from him. And we got him prosecuted and put away for 68 years here just this past July. So he's gone away, but he had been at it for some time. And I could speak all day on how we need more protection. We need greater enforcement of the laws we have. I'm not one who believes that we need more and more laws. I think we've got so many laws that are not enforced that it gets messy and confusing and, quite frankly, dangerous. I think we need, my personal opinion is that we need fewer laws, but we need to enforce the heck out of the ones that we do have on the books, the ones that everybody agrees need to be on the books. And I think we've got some that would protect our children just fine if only we would really enforce those.
Enforce
so,
them, yeah.
Yeah, that's my personal take on it. But, you know, it's a complex issue, and there are a lot of layers and angles to it. So, you know, I've had the privilege of serving in law enforcement, and we work with them constantly now, and it's encouraging and inspiring to see so many good ones who are working with us diligently to combat this problem.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Thanks for staying with us. Our guest today is Craig Sawyer, founder of Veterans for Child Rescue, and Eric Bauer, an attorney in Tacoma, Washington, who is very instrumental in bringing down Backpage. And we're talking about child trafficking crisis in America, and it is a crisis. What do you think, both of you, what do you think we need to do to get people to understand this is a problem?
Well, we need to do everything we can. You're doing a lot with your radio show just today. I think this, you know, we need to talk about it. We need to demonstrate it. We need to publicize it. We need everything. You know, just people need to wake up, see it's all around them. There's two major criminal industries out there. The first is drug trafficking, and number two is sex trafficking. And I'm talking about, you know, the numbers of victims, the amount of money, and the amount of human carnage left in its wake. You know, for drug trafficking, we have something called the Department, you know, it's the Drug Enforcement Administration is what it is, DEA, right?
Right.
With lots of agents, lots of money, lots of prosecutions. For sex trafficking, well, Trump recently, just within the last month or so, signed a $47 million bill, you know, which appoints somebody to head an agency. But we're talking, that's a drop in the bucket compared to what kind of funds go into drug trafficking. And, you know, I'll just ask anybody, what offends you worse, selling a kilo of cocaine or selling a child to get raped every day? I mean, what's worse? What offends you more?
Yeah.
And, you know, So, I mean, it's that sort of thing. We need to, I think Craig mentioned it right at the beginning of his talk, we need to get people more aware, and that's what we need to do.
And this isn't like these traffickers. They're not like the boogeyman. They look like you. They look like me. They look like the priest at the, you know, these are people that don't look like a boogeyman. They're everyday normal people of all walks of life. And they're out there being predators.
That's exactly right. And we've arrested a cross-section of society. Predators that prey upon children work themselves into positions of access and public trust, and they destroy that public trust by abusing those positions. We've arrested an active duty Army recruiter, a federal law enforcement agent, church elders, illegal aliens. We've arrested just about everybody you can think of already. We're seeing that there is no demographic, there is no look, there is no type for a child predator. I think evil can manifest itself in the heart of any man or woman, and it's a kind of thing to where you can't identify, you can't judge a book by its cover. Really,
true.
It's in the heart. It's not a personal type. It's a predator is a predator. You can't tell by just looking at them alone.
Okay, we've got a caller. Ingrid, what's on your mind?
Good morning. The subject of going into churches and wanting to talk and not getting a receptive audience, and now again you just mentioned that's a similar connected problem, and priests not being prosecuted and being shifted around. Clearly, that's not really the way to go. There is something called the American, the Ethical Culture Society. I remember years ago, I was a member, and I think among humanists, it's common for them to be involved in that. Humanists are primarily a group of people who do not believe in supernatural beings, and they're often referred to as atheists. Have you attempted to go into groups like that and give a talk? You might have a more receptive audience.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, we're trying to get the word out everywhere, every way we can. We haven't targeted specific groups like that. I do know that there's a general resistance to addressing this topic by most groups in the United States for reasons we've already articulated, but to get the word out past the gatekeeper, so to speak, we're addressing it every way we can. For instance, we've got billboards donated to us by different groups all across the country, and we have giant anti-child trafficking promotional billboards promoting our mission and the combating of child trafficking. And we've got a NASCAR team. Mike Harmon Racing flies our logo and website on his car on the NASCAR circuit, just to get the word out and get people talking and thinking. We're shooting the documentary Contraland. That'll be out hopefully very soon. And that will really alert the millions and millions of Americans to the threat. And we've got flyers and volunteers going out to groups. I do a lot of public speaking and radio and television interviews. So it's just a matter of just spreading the word so that culturally we can get to the masses and get past those gatekeepers that may not want the public knowing about this criminal enterprise, because there is, quite frankly, a lot of corruption. And this criminal enterprise enjoys a lot of top cover and a lot of people protecting this enterprise. And we have to shatter that veil of secrecy. And once the population knows, it's going to be really hard for the child traffickers to continue this type of trade any longer, because everybody's going to recognize the signs and the symptoms and begin reporting and dogging them everywhere they go, which is exactly what I mean to accomplish.
May I add something?
Sure.
A thought just occurred to me. Have arranged for self-defense classes to be taught in physical education in school. that might be a step in the right direction. Also, help girls to learn how to defend themselves when they're approached by somebody with a knife in his hand, or it's already there, aimed at their kidney or something. Teach them how to get out of that situation. I took a self-defense class many, many years ago, and they're very useful.
I know Eric had his daughters take self-defense classes.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. I believe in empowering those that don't have it. I think the Second Amendment is a great equalizer for women and men. But when we're talking children, you know, they're not yet welcome, and it's not yet appropriate for them to carry firearms. But there are self-defense techniques that they should know and be very familiar with and comfortable executing whenever needed. But even more importantly than the self-defense techniques is the situational awareness and threat recognition, that they understand what situations lead to this kind of danger so that they never have somebody putting hands on them in the first place. If they can read the situation and avoid it earlier on, it's much more effective at keeping them out of harm's way. And I would want that for anybody that we care about, is to understand how these predators stalk the children and how to avoid being compromised in a position where they would have to try to fight against a full-grown predatory male adult.
And they look for different signs. Somebody who's walking with their head down, staring at the ground instead of where they're going. You know, somebody who doesn't walk or talk with confidence. I mean, they look for these signs that, you know, I can pick you off in a... like that, because you don't have the wherewithal to fight me off.
Yep. A predator sees an easy target or a soft target, and they tend to prey on that. They take the path of least resistance. So a child that is hanging out with other children, or whose head is up and eyes are scanning, and they do not look afraid.
Aware.
They're less likely to be targeted. So, you know, there's safety in numbers, there's safety in awareness, and there's certainly safety in threat recognition and recognizing the signs that a predator is approaching and getting too close or asking the wrong questions and breaking contact and getting away from them at the earliest possible juncture so that it does not escalate.
Eric, is he there?
Yeah. Don't hear me.
Okay, you had this on your mind too when your daughters were growing up. Tell us what the way you programmed your kids. I mean, talk about programming.
Well, sure. I put my kids in karate at age 5, a really good local dojo. I kept them in there until they got their black belts. 11 years later, they were fighting in tournaments, other, you know, brown belts and black belts and whatnot. I literally told them they weren't allowed to date until they got their black belt, and you know, they did it. So they don't walk down the street looking like a victim waiting to happen. You know, they have a sense of athleticism and grace and self-confidence that most predators, you know, aren't going to be really attracted to. Predators, I mean, they're just like predators on the Serengeti. They're after the weak, the lame, the young, the vulnerable, the sick. And they hang out at the watering holes. You know, they hang out at the schools, the arcades, the homeless shelters. You know, anywhere they can find prey, that's where they go. And, you know, one of the things that I was thinking as we were talking is, you know, there's two kinds of pimps or traffickers out there. Really, there's what they call Romeo pimps, and then there's gorilla pimps. And these kids need to watch out. I mean, self-defense classes don't really protect you from the Romeos out there necessarily. And I would like to see sex trafficking prevention education being taught in 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, you know, and repeatedly enough to drive the message home to the kids in the classes. That's what I'd like to see. Have them watch out for the Romeo pimps. I mean, they're clever as can be. And the way they come at you, it's not always with, it's most of the time not with direct force. For example, they will use what they call a bottom. A bottom is a girl that is works with the pimp. It's probably his most trusted victim, quite honestly. And for example, I had one client, she was 14. She's approached by a 19-year-old. My client's at a youth homeless shelter in Seattle looking for a place to stay the night. The cool 19-year-old comes up to her, befriends her. You know, she looks pretty. She says, hey, I know these guys. I know where a cool party is. We can go. We can smoke some weed, have some fun. The 14-year-old looks up to the 19-year-old. Yeah, made a bad decision, went to the party. She's actually forcibly raped at that party in front of multiple people and ended up, you know, being a victim for a long time. So, I mean, they have a lot of different ploys, a lot of different plays they use, and kids need to be able to recognize that and see it for what it is.
But they need to be taught, not just in the schools, they need to be taught at home. And I've done a lot of shows on sex trafficking, child trafficking, and several months back I got a phone call from somebody who lives in Mississippi who called me and said, I heard your show, and I want to let you know that my mother sex trafficked me. And I'm just like, what? Wait. And then I'm hearing from you that a lot of times it starts with a family member.
It does. Yeah. Sadly, at first, my education on this, when I 3 years ago, when I threw my back into this problem and began learning, you know, about it and more how to defeat it, the first cases of families selling their children I learned about were in Central and South America. And then I learned that that was pretty prevalent in some countries in Southeast Asia. And then I began learning that, no, it's here too. American moms and dads will sell their children and stepchildren. It's just diabolical. I can't describe the disappointment that I felt, but I couldn't agree more that the children in schools need to be educated on it specifically, and it should have happened at home first. But in the case where they may not have a loving family at home, we can still reach them at school. And that's one of the things that Vets for Child Rescue is about. What I've decided to do is create a coalition of NGOs, partners that are people that I trust that run other organizations that handle an aspect of this problem that we don't from Vets for Child Rescue. Because Vets for Child Rescue is primarily about alert the populace and directly address the threat. So we make the arrest, we run the joint operations, we make the documentaries and alert the masses. But we've partnered with a local Tucson organization, Sold No More. Fantastic people. They're all about prevention and education. They go into the schools and educate the kids on how predators stalk them to avoid falling victim in the first place. And they're in the high schools, but they need, quite frankly, to be, and they want to be, in earlier schools, junior high and even elementary school, because by the time that they get to the high school, the kids can almost educate them about the problem. So it's really too late in a lot of cases. So they need earlier access. They really do.
Yeah, we need to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Thanks for staying with us. If you have any questions, the call-in number is 790-2040. And our guest today is Craig Sawyer, founder of Veterans for Child Rescue. And on the phone, we have Eric Bauer, who's an attorney in Tacoma, Washington, who has been, in fact, don't you have something coming up regarding Craigslist? Are you able to talk about that, or should we just not talk about it?
Yeah, I could probably say a little bit about it. Yeah, we have a hearing on Tuesday where I'm representing a young woman who was trafficked, sold off of Craigslist ads when she was 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, during her teenage years. And so we filed a suit against Craigslist as well as different motels where, you know, she was trafficked at the motels. And we've actually filed several cases like this throughout the country where we're targeting hotels and motels that allow sex trafficking to take place at their facility. And we're not talking about, you know, just some random once a week thing that would be hard to detect. We're talking about, you know, a level of activity that the hotel either knew or should have known was going on at their facility. And they, you know, they had the power to do something about it and they failed to act. And that's the kind of awareness we want to bring to everybody out there. We have all these corporate actors out there that make money off of sex trafficking because, you know, hotels is where it happens. And, you know, these websites that have allowed sex trafficking to flourish in the United States and have caused a huge, huge increase in sex trafficking. You know, we've taken the battle to them really strenuously and been pretty effective at that so far. But, you know, it's on the rise again, and you know, there's a lot of work that still needs to be done.
So, Craig, what kind of steps do we need to take to, if we can't get through to the adults and say, hey, this is happening, we need to do something about it, what kind of steps do you take with the children to say, hey, this is out there. You need to be careful with, you know, who you're hanging out with and who you're believing. Don't walk off with strangers.
Number one, I would say learn who's in your child's life. Who are they hanging out with? Where are they going when they spend time together? What sort of home environment is that? If it's friends or family, relatives that they're hanging out with, you know, what's actually going on there? What's the nature of that relationship and those people?
In the telephone apps.
Yeah. Well, the killing fields, if you will, now are online. So the predators stalk the children through their apps, their Xbox games. They stalk them through different apps on the phones, and it's constant. So there are thousands and thousands of predators online 24/7 hitting up your child for sex, and not directly. The predator pretends to be another child, and they befriend your child, and then they work them into positions of compromise. They ask them for, you know, more revealing pictures of themselves, and of course your child may think they're flirting with another attractive child their age or from their school, and once it's too late, they'll realize they've given pictures to a predator that's going to use it against them, tell their parents or show it to their entire school or what have you, or put it online for everybody, and then they demand further video, or then they demand to meet them in a public place, at a park or something like that, where they can be abducted and never to be seen or heard from again. So know who's in their lives. Check their phones. I love the idea that one parent said, we keep all of our children's phones on chargers in our master bedroom at night. So once it's dark, we take the phones from our kids and we have control of them as they charge, because that's a lot of the time that they're getting into trouble. So we can lock our doors and windows at night and retreat to our master bedrooms and think our children are in our bedrooms safe, but they may as well have left the windows wide open for the predators if they are online chatting unwittingly with predatory adults.
I had a military personnel who specialize in cybersecurity talk about the fact that there are apps that you can put on your phone to block different things. And to, you know, just not use some of the apps, make sure your child's phone, there's got to be a way a parent can control what goes on their child's phone.
Yeah, well, traditionally, American parents like to give our children, you know, some sort of privacy and respect, but that's dangerous now. We have to have access to that phone. We have to be savvy enough on what these different apps are and what they do and take whatever preventive measures we can. And I would say make it a commitment that you're going to assert yourself and get into your child's phone on a regular basis, where you check and just see what kind of activity is going on there. Make yourself familiar, as uncomfortable as that may be. You may be saving their life.
Yeah. I used to tell my son that, you know, I'm a pain in the butt, but hey, you're still here. So, you know, you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah, that's the nature of the times we're in.
And it's unfortunate. Okay. I want to hear about your mission and your purpose with, I'm looking at your flyer here. I want to hear everything about your organization.
Yes, ma'am. Well, alert the populace is job one. I can't turn away. I can't turn a blind eye to this kind of predation against our children. It's everything that's a warrior within me is enraged at what I'm seeing. And it breaks my heart. And so I'm doing everything that I can. And so I think if I can alert 320 million Americans and alert them to this crisis, and we can create a non-permissive environment, that will be the best singular thing I personally could do. So that's generally what Vets for Child Rescue is geared toward doing. Now, we've learned that with my law enforcement background, we can run very effective joint operations with law enforcement across the country. We enjoy doing that because the average number of children that a child predator harms throughout their lifetime is 70. So some of them rape hundreds of children and murder God knows who many, how many. Others get caught their first time, and the average, they say, is about 70 children each. So I like the idea of arresting the child predators and getting them off the street and putting a stop to their reign of terror so that who knows how many children will not be subjected to that abuse because that predator now lives in a box where he belongs, where he can harm and rape no more. So here's to our law enforcement allies on working with us for that because it's a very beautiful solution.
I don't think a lot of people realize it's not just sexual abuse. Some kids are stolen because there's organ transfers that are going on. Can you address that?
Yeah, well, there's a black market for organs for various reasons. Maybe people need surgeries and they're somehow problematic at going through this system to get the organ that they need, maybe a liver transplant or something like that, kidney. There are sadly networks of criminals that will abduct children and provide organs. They will sacrifice the child or have an illegal surgery on them to take the organ for an illegal transplant. So it's just another aspect of what happens when the children fall into hostile hands. There's so many things that are harmful that happen to them. And organ harvesting is one of those things that drives this trade. So it's very, very dark, very diabolical criminal enterprise, child trafficking. But a lot of it's sex, but some of it is organ harvesting. So their little precious little children are literally being hunted for their organs in some cases. So that's something I would love to put a stop to. I'd like to think that the United States, the American people are better than that.
I would hope so.
As abhorrent as it is, we must not turn away because by doing so, we allow it to continue. So I just wanted to rattle off real quick the rest of the coalition that we've created. So we've got Soul No More that addresses education and prevention. SWAT Ministries International trains other NGOs and nonprofit organization volunteers.
Tell them what NGO means.
Yeah, non-government organization. So a nonprofit org. So SWAT Ministries International is in Thailand, but they work internationally, and they train other volunteers that go and do what we refer to as soft rescues, identifying underage boys and girls in the bars and brothels and getting them out. And they're very, some of these are very prolific, and they're very good at what they do. Good quality people. And I've run some operations with them last year in Southeast Asia. Soul Survivor Inc. is out of Phoenix. Gina removes the brands from these pimps that they actually tattoo or brand these girls and boys with a barcode or a crown or their name, and it's an identifier that marks them as property. So look, folks, children are not property of some pimp. That's not how it's supposed to work in the United States. I fought for a free country in the military, and this is abhorrent and unacceptable. So part of giving a young person their life back, their future back. It involves removing this brand that some hostile pimp had put on them, marking them as their territory. So I've already stated what our organization's mission is: alert the populace and directly address the threat. And finally, we've got Rancho Milagro out of Scottsdale. They have a very beautiful healing process with equine therapy. Our own daughter has gotten a lot of healing there. And it's amazing what really good counselors can do that are good with horses. It's just any sort of trauma therapy, anybody that's gotten psychological or emotional trauma, the horses can just be really amazing healing. And so a lot of law enforcement, military have and enjoyed a lot of healing through Rancho Milagro and other equine therapies as well. So that's, you know, each of these groups are just quality people, and they address a different aspect of the threat than we do. And I love the idea of working together so that together we really are what we can't be alone. It was a strong coalition of like-minded people that just want to fix this problem. So here's to all of our law enforcement allies and our partner organizations. I mean, we've worked with Pinal County Sheriff's Mark Lamb. He's been a fantastic ally in this. You'll see him in our documentary, Contraland. Cochise County Sheriff's Department has gone down to the border with us, and we've worked together with them. You'll see some of them in Contraland. Pima County Sheriff's Department, they're the first ones I called when our daughter was coming home. She was hysterical, screaming into the phone that she had been raped, and I called the Sheriff's Department to have them intercept her en route home so that they could make her safe. And then we could find out, you know, more about the threat. But they were at our house when she arrived home. Well, bless her heart, our daughter wasn't going to stop for anything because she was frankly hysterical. And honestly,
too.
She was a danger to the public on the road. But it was the middle of the night, and we could not cause her to stop just by verbally talking to her. She was boogieing home and to a safe place. And anyway, so. Pinal County Sheriff's had a part in that, and then Tucson Police Department actually made the raid on the home of the perpetrator. They identified him, and he wasn't there at that time, but another one did stop him in a chance encounter on the road, and made the arrest. So here's to all of our local law enforcement and allies who have been part of and salute and a part of the solution. And so we appreciate you guys.
Yes, absolutely we do. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's not, this is something where, you know, you can't just go raid a house. You have to have all this other information before you can do anything. Eric?
Yeah, it's not easy for law enforcement at all. I had one case involving, gosh, some foster kids where the foster dad was raping the heck out of these little boys and then photographing what he was doing, and he put all the images online. And the officers that invested that case had to go through, you know, literally thousands of these photographs. And it impacted them so badly that they needed some therapy for post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, just the images alone, let alone having to go to the house and deal with these children and understand what was going on. I mean, our men and women in law enforcement put up with, you know, just unspeakable stuff every single day. And I don't think the population really understands how impactful it can be.
Yeah, and I, you know, you cannot be unmoved when you see this. And I remember when you did the demonstration, we had an event at Westward Look, and Eric came in and did a presentation. Some of the people, and including wives of law enforcement, were so taken back by what they were seeing with these back page ads. And they were like, oh my God, that's horrible. Well, they didn't want to see it. And it was that denial, you know, okay, this is happening, but it's happening someplace else, not here. And it's happening right here under our noses.
Yeah, it really is. And Craig was spot on, right? The internet is the war zone right now. And, it, you know, it will continue to be for the foreseeable future. It's it's not the only spot out there by any means, but it's, you know, it's where commodities are advertised throughout America and sold, bought and sold online. And you just watch what has happened with Amazon, and, you know, it's taking over the retail trade everywhere, right? Well, Backpage managed to do that with sex trafficking, and they're out of business now, fortunately. But, you know, others are trying to take their place, and I know Sherry's working very hard on a bill that would allow law enforcement to essentially shut down overseas websites which are advertising American children for sale in America. And that's the biggest threat I see right now to our kids is, you know, overseas websites that are beyond the reach of our law enforcement agencies coming in, you know, through the World Wide Web. All it takes is a couple of servers and you're in business. You know, we could have organizations in Russia, North Korea, wherever, deciding they want to make that $150 million a year that Backpage used to make off of, you know, sex trafficking advertising. And, you know, that's the next threat, and it's already starting to creep up, and we need a way to counter that and to stop it. And I know Sherry's working on that really hard.
We're going to be talking a lot more about this, too. We do want our lawmakers to create a bill so that gives law enforcement the ability to shut down these websites that purport to be from the UK or from China or wherever they're pretending to be when they're actually sitting right here in America. And this is their way of getting around it. They think that law enforcement can't touch them because they're out of the country. Well, they're not. So I've talked to our congressmen, I've talked to our senators, I've talked to you, Greg, I've talked to Eric. We are all getting together, working together to make a bill, to write a bill. The sheriff's department's on board. The Pima County Attorney's Office said they were on board to give our law enforcement the authority. Shut them down. Just shut them down.
You know, I can address this from my perspective that law enforcement would not be welcome to really articulate, but so many of the good people I work with and talk to say, you know, Craig, we can make the arrests and we can make the cases and we can present it, but if we've got soft judges that are just going to let them off, it's a waste of time. So I would say to anybody listening, we must assert ourselves as voting citizens, and a lot of these elected positions, we need strong judges, we need strong district attorneys who will prosecute child sex crimes, because in too many places there are groups or figures with a lot of money who are doing a lot of politicking to get judges and DAs in place across the country who will refuse to prosecute child sex crimes, and look at the harm that comes from that. That is something that we must actively counter. We need strong enforcement of our laws, and therefore enjoy the protection of our children from it.
Okay, Eric, you've got 2 minutes.
Okay, well, Craig's spot on. We know, both you guys are. This is just it's a hydra, and we need to attack it on every front. And, you know, again, in terms of just trying to isolate and focus, I think the best thing we can do in terms of helping our kids learn, I think we need some classroom education for sure. Some 70% of the victims, they think, are from foster care.
Yes.
You know, it's a huge number. And so they don't have necessarily very supportive families, and I think the school needs to pick up the slack with those kids. And, you know, let's think about it. Kids, you know, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, they don't know about sex, let alone sex trafficking. They do instinctively know about people that pay attention to them, people that seem to like them, people that bring them to a nice restaurant for a nice meal, give them a purse, fancy necklace, whatever. You know, and that's really the kind of tools that the Romeos use, and they're patient, too. So there's a lot of ploys out there, and these kids need education.
Yes.
To recognize it before it's too late. And then the gorillas are just playing gorilla. I mean, it's just pure violence, and it's awful. Most of the Romeos turn into gorillas at some point during the process, you know. And I have cases where kids have been killed, murdered, and virtually all of them have suffered, you know,
unspeakable
levels of violence. Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that we educated a few people this morning. This is something that, you know, we can't just, and we only have an hour on the show, we can't go into huge details, but it is something that we really need to address as a nation, not just as a radio show. And Craig needs help, Eric needs help. So we're going to keep moving. We're going to see if we can get this bill written so everybody can vote on it and say yes. And veterans, vetsforchildrescue.org. Please go to that, and we'll talk to you next week.